We're going to go into a talk from Jerry Cree, who was speaking at the People's Histories of Canada public discussion series to deconstruct the myths of the Canadian state. And that went on last night at the Native Friendship Centre of Montreal. And she gave a talk on several things, but I guess her focus was education and how we can use education to resist and to, reverse all of the wrongs that have been committed against Aboriginal peoples in Canada. So we'll go into that. And keep it locked, CKT 90.3 FM. You're listening to Spitfire Radio.
My mother went to residential schools in 1921. And even for our own people, most of them don't even know that. They'll say, well, why did you, you know, our parents didn't send us there. They don't even have a clue that it was mandatory. It was a law placed by Canada to send every Native child to those schools. You know, so we don't even know our own history. So from that lacking of knowledge, we have a lot of problems today, you know, stemming from basically we're mirroring what was done to us or to our parents or grandparents. And that's why we have so much conflict, you know, like we have now in Gunnestaugi. And it's not just Gunnestaugi, you can go across Canada. Every Native community or reserve has the same problems, the high suicides, the alcoholism, drugs, etc., etc., etc. You know, infighting. We have internal racism as well as internal oppression. How do you get out of that? Well, you have to find out who you are first and know where that comes from to start making change. That's for us. And on the other side, you have Canadians who say, oh, geez, those damn Indians are always complaining, don't pay taxes, they get free houses. Yeah, free moldy houses. You know, houses with no water or an old well or no insulation or what have you. You know, when you're on the outside, you can say, okay, I've got mold, boy, Health Canada, Department of Health is going to be right there to fix it for you. When it comes to Natives, 2 years down the line, it don't matter, a couple years more, what the hell, let them die off, you know. They don't need water, they don't need good homes. So the education also for Canadians, we can't expect Canada to change the history. That's not their agenda. Their agenda is assimilation, colonialism, and that's the way it's going to go. It's money first, and get rid of the Indian problem. And the white paper, and during that time, the white paper, they were already talking about municipalization and taxation. Well, hey, it's here today. We're dealing with that in our community. We're trying to avoid that. It's always about money. You know, you go fishing. Oh, well, you can't fish because there's the fish are dying out. Why? Because of the greed. You know, so Natives keep staying on welfare. There's the education system of education, I think, should be for Native people, should be controlled for Native education. Because that's why the dropout is so high, because there's the conflict of cultures. So it's important because, like, it's 2005, and we're still not, nobody's getting the real story, you know. And this is what I'm telling you is the same story that's going around globally for any Indigenous people around the world. It's the same story. We have to take care of know our own history and go back to that and find out where our problems are. Because it doesn't matter how good a government you're going to have or system, those issues are still there. And saying, well, that happened a long time ago, forget about it. You can't, because it's been passed from generation to generation. It's a wound. That wound is still there. Example, Canada is refusing to deal with the compensation for residential school survivors. You know, there's 1,200 to 2,000 survivors dying every year, uncompensated. And the government it's exactly what the government wants, because they don't want to pay out to anyone. They want us to go on to a point where, you know, we won't have to pay so much. And then they put these systems in where they have the ADR. Again, the ADR is constructed by the government. And they decide who's going to get money. And if you were abused and you were sexually abused, but I figure your abuse is worse than his, you'll get more money. To me, in order to deal with Native people, you have to settle that issue, because this is going back a long time ago. And the effects from that we're still feeling today. And it's not the money. It's not about the money. Money is, to me, is only part of the acknowledgement that you did harm. There is a very small percentage that did go on and become, let's say, nurses, you know, things like that. But the percentage is so small, and there was still a trade-off. I mean, you have these people who never came back to their communities. They lived on the outside. They married non-natives because at the time, like my mother told me, they would tell you, you marry white, you marry right. For myself, my mother, I believe there was 9 kids. They were all sent to residential school. And when they came back, well, they weren't really welcome back because in Gunasatage, the kids were sent to Shinglock, which is in Sault Ste. Marie. And they were gone for 10 years. There was no periods of coming back for during the summer. You were gone for 10 years. They took you. See, the process of the Gunners, take the child as young as you can so you can you mold them. Because when you're young, 4 or 5, that's who you will make you when you become an adult. That was the idea. Take the child as young as you could to change them. Take the Indian out of them. Kill the Indian in them. You know, so they become like a civilized Canadian white person. So they were gone for 10 years and they came back. They came back to the community. Obviously, that's when it starts affecting the community now because people say, well, I never went. It didn't affect me. Well, yes, it did because if you're a parent and your child is taken away from you, well, there's pretty good chances that you're going to go somewhere and start drinking or doing something destructive, self-destructive behavior. Because on one hand, the government's saying, if you try to take your child back, you won't get any more money from us. Or you'll never see your child again. You know? So what choices did they have? They didn't have the education. They didn't have the money. So basically, they were at the mercy of Canada. She used to tell me, the little bit that she told me about those schools was, well, it was a school of hard knocks. You know? They did some pretty bad shit over there. Or she'd say, oh, or if she's an example, she'll see something on TV, a movie where a woman was getting beaten up by a man. Well, she must have did something to deserve it. Or she would discipline me the same way she was disciplined in those schools. I learned to become like her. It took me 30, 40 years before figuring out that my problems came from her. So when you hear Canadians say, well, you know, leave that behind, that happened a long time ago. No, it's still here with us. And you know, when I talk, I've spoken to Canadians, think, oh, well, our ancestors did that 100 years ago. I said, no. I said, not 100. I said, it's still going on. I said, when do you think the last residential school closed? You know, 1980s. There's a lot of damage. It's going to take generations before we get healthy again. But it has to start somewhere. And the people have to know the story. Canadians have to change their attitudes. It's by education.